Yes, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another brand new Rugby Muscle podcast. I'm your host, as always, TJ, and today we are coming at you with another live Q&A from the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/Rugby Muscle. It's not the link that I put on before, it's this link, facebook.com/groups/Rugby Muscle. Click there to join if you're watching on the YouTube. Also, if you're watching on the YouTube, as usual, don't forget to subscribe if this is your first time watching. Thumbs up, comments, questions in the comments below, and I will be able to answer them in a future Q&A. And these Q&As allow me to get quite in-depth. So without further ado, let's get into the pre-prepared questions that we have on the Facebook group. And from emails, I think I've got a couple emails as well. So I've got them all sort of collated, ready to go. So I will get into those. As usual, if you ask me a question in these comment section below, I will also get to it for anyone that is joining on the live, because, you know, I'm trying to encourage, I'm trying to encourage traffic. I'm trying to encourage this coming onto people's feed. So thumbs ups always do help. And it takes 2 seconds to do. Invaluable. Obviously, we are coming at you from a new location, testing this out. I'm not sure about the lighting, not sure about the heat or the sound coming from outside, because it's rather off-putting. But this is where I'm working in my desk at the moment. It's a spare room in the apartment. This line might have to be moved. But we'll see. We'll see how we go for today. And if we go through with no problems, then we might just continue here. I don't have too much of an issue. So let me know how it all goes. Let me know how the sound is, if you can hear all the stuff in the background. All that feedback is absolutely appreciated. The other feedback that's appreciated is the 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. Like I've said before, even if you listen on Spotify or another podcast, Apple Podcasts does help drive a lot of traffic. And once we get into those feeds, and it gives the RSS feed. I don't know, really. No, I'm not the most technical dude with this stuff, but I think it gives the other platforms more exposure as well. So 5-star reviews on there really does help. Like this one that we received from Colby 00012, who says, best podcast hands down, deserves way more recognition for how hard he works, and the information he puts out is always spot on. Wouldn't have it any other way. Awesome. Glad to hear that, Colby. Reach out to me, either TJ_rugby or with a screenshot of like to prove me that's you that submitted it, and then we will hook you up with a free consultation or a free month of Team Rugby Muscle when it relaunches. And I'm really excited. It's coming together now. It's been a bit of a balls up, because I've had to switch the software that we've been using for the whole membership platform will work. But now I've got it in place, and it is going to be massive. You're going to have, we're going to have skills training on there, probably some technical analysis, because it does, as rugby strength and conditioning, I do think that we have to sort of, as an online resource, if you're coming to me, you're probably not having any other sort of self-driven or club-driven skills training that you'll be doing on your own. So, why not use the strength and conditioning resource as a resource to also increase your skills, also increase your technical abilities, and increase your tactical abilities with analysis and stuff as well. That will all be coming. So I'm really excited to get that stuff out. But not today. Today, we are going to get into the questions. So Sean asks, TJ, what's your thoughts on the match last weekend? And then subsequent minimal changes to the starting 15. So, yeah, I put up on my Instagram last week that I was putting up polls for people to put predictions for the games. And I said, let's not even bother predicting this Scotland v England game, because, just tell me who you're cheering for, because obviously England will win. And boy, I was wrong. You can always say that England played poorly, and they did. But I think that Harry, the quad question is coming up next. I mean, the tendonitis question is next on the list. So let me get through my Six Nations review and we'll go there. So he said, England did have a bad game, and it's very easy to say that they played bad, but I think that takes away from Scotland playing really well. I do think Scotland played really well in that they played that classic sort of Northern Hemisphere opportunistic rugby, in that they just dominated the territory and waited for England to make mistakes. And to be fair, England made a number of mistakes, but they didn't make too many. And if you think that Scotland only scored, one try, England were in that game with the last play to go. So they still had a chance. So it shouldn't have been that way, because that shows how good England's defense is, because they had like none of the ball. And they still managed to keep within a score, which is kudos to the defense, but probably poor on the game management side. And that game management side probably comes from, like people have stated, Owen Farrell and at 10 being out of like game. That's his first game back into it since the autumn. So he's had a few months off and he's gone straight back into it. I do think it probably would have been better with, I like Ford, Farrell, and I even like Ford, Farrell, Henry Slade. Ford, Farrell, Slade. I like that 10-12 because it's just all creators. And if you've got enough explosion, you've got enough pace, and you've got enough, people that can run through gaps around them, then I don't think you need a big ball carrier. Because everyone says that, Ollie Lawrence was good there because he was a big ball carrier. But, in this game now, yes, you can get people to get you over the game. More often than not, that's forwards. And now the big backs that just run over people just don't exist because the defenses are so strong that it's nowhere near as effective. And I think that, yes, you can have big players, but you still need to put those big players in space. And that's the only way they're going to score. So I don't think you need that big crash 12 as much as, especially in that higher level rugby. Especially like Manu Tuilagi is something different. So to say Ollie Lawrence was just a replacement for him doesn't really make sense to me. To say that England need to play Joe Simmons and they also need to play Marcus Smith doesn't make sense to me either, because it's like, I don't understand. England, and it's the same with the football team, right? England are so harsh in the press because it sells, and it's easy to be harsh. But the fact is that England got to a World Cup final 2 years ago. Last year, they lost one game to an amazing French team, an inspired French team away from home. Then they won two trophies. They've lost one game against a very good Scotland team. I don't think it's time to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think it's just give them another chance to see how they go. New Zealand lost to fucking Argentina last year, and then what happened to them? They came back and they didn't change the side completely. They came back and they actually played mostly the same players and they fucking trounced Argentina. You can't just judge everyone by one game. So I don't think it was a time to completely change the team. I don't even know what they've done with the team, to be honest. So let me see if I can pull it up real quick. But whilst I'm pulling it up, I will also say that I called, I said Italy were going to play well. And I know they lost 50-10, I think it was. But I do think that as the Six Nations goes on, we'll see how important that game was. We'll see, or how much to read into that game. Because everyone's calling, does this mean that Italy need to leave? And I think that they actually were quite competitive in the game. France just are that good that they took all their chances. The two tries that DuPont set up, they were just out of nothing, And they were such, and you could say that a lot of their tries were just chances from quite far out that they then just capitalize on, because they are probably the most talented team in, if not the Six Nations, the world. So to say that Italy needs to be kicked out doesn't make sense to me either. Okay, so I've pulled up the England team here. Okay, so they've gone for I like that they've gone for the Ford, Farrell, Slade. I just think that gives you so much control. And if Johnny May, Anthony Watson and Elliot Daly are all still in, those three, I think I like the balance of three creators and three hard runners and with Daly sort of in between, but three sort of strike runners. But with I don't think you could, May had a bad game, but I don't think you can remove him because of that. I think he's been consistently England's best player for the last few years. Anthony Watson hasn't been in too much form recently, but whatever, they're still seeing stuff. And Elliot Daly, I do think the back three had a poor game, and that coincides with Scotland playing really well and exposing them with a really good kicking game. So it's Is it that all the England players had bad games, or is it where Scotland played really well, they made England look bad? You know, it's not, you can't just have that. And when people say that they need, you know, we need Marcus Smith and you need Joe Simmons and you like just suggesting all these players, they're watching as fans. You don't know the in depth of what actually goes into like a team in that level, let alone what they're trying to achieve, let alone like. Even when you're watching a game, like if you're watching, you know, you see, because, you know, you get these players that sort of get all the credits. Like the biggest one always back in the day was either Christian Wade, who I love, a great player. But like to say that he has to be in the England team, it just shows me that I don't think you really know what you're talking about, because he doesn't, because his play is like limited. Or not limited, but what you're watching is his highlights. And no doubt his highlights are fantastic, but rugby isn't made on highlights. It's made on a, like that, the fact that England kept Scotland down was because they are so good as a team at in the defence and everywhere else. I think that's what England are looking for. Like, you have to be at least that. And then if you're a game breaker on top of that, that's a great thing. But you can't have weak points. And if you have a weak point in defence, then that's probably what they see in Marcus Smith. Sorry, I'm adjusting my camera, but that's probably what they see in, like, in the likes of Marcus Smith and Joe Simmons, that like what we've got with Farrell and Ford is a very good, like solid defense in that position. So why change that up? Doesn't make sense to me. You know, and also people call for Joe Simmons and Marcus Smith. Like, well, hold on here. So you're calling for these two tens to come and play whilst we've got these other two world-class tens already in the team. And there's only one 10, like, it doesn't make sense. It's, you have to take people out. It's just very easy to armchair quarterback when it comes to talking about selections, but a lot more difficult to actually produce, you know, an ideology and a game plan that actually you want to play. And rugby's a lot more complex. It can be very simple. The best players make it look really simple, but what you're trying to build with a squad can be a little bit more complex than that. Or you can just be New Zealand and have just really talented players everywhere and just sort of figure it out. But, you know, even then, I know the New Zealand press is harsh as well. So, I don't read into too much to it. And then, like I say, the Ireland v Wales game, I said it before, I think Ireland just have a good bit of power, but I think they're very much similar to the England fold, where they just don't want to make too many mistakes. But I think they have even less in the form of game breakers, especially if they're out of form. I do think most of their game breakers have been out of form. I could be wrong there, but or injured as well. I'm spacing on the 12 that had a great game. 12 had a good game for Ireland. I was expecting the 13 to have a much better game. Space on both of their names, how embarrassing. And then Wales, I mean, they won against 14 men, sort of just about. Played all right, but we'll see. I think Scotland will beat Wales this week. I think France will beat Ireland. And I do think England will beat Italy. And then it's they take a week off. And then the round after that is where we're going to see a bigger picture of this, how the Six Nations is going to go. So no panic stations right yet. Let's see. But I am enjoying it. And this is definitely something that, like, I will continue to do if people enjoy this stuff, like my thoughts on actual high-level rugby. Or you can, like, you know, obviously there's no low-level rugby to sort of break down or amateur rugby to break down, but when that gets back into it, that's something I want to start doing for the Team Rugby Muscle guys. And then I might just do this sort of prediction stuff, but high-level reviews. I don't know if we all enjoy it or if I'm just another voice that people don't really want to hear too much, you know. But, I do think that you should be a fan of rugby if you're trying to train to become a better rugby player. Like, you should appreciate what the game is about as well. Like, know what you're trying to achieve. Anyway, let's move on, shall we? Anyone that's joined on the live, as usual, thumbs up, questions in the comments. If the thumbs up it's the easiest thing to do, and it helps this feed reach other feeds or other people, you know, it helps people come into people's home pages and whatnot. And then comments means you get your question answered. So real easy. Next up, we have Harry, who says, oh yeah, this is a question from last week. Says, any tips on fixing quad tendon pain? So I definitely have some tips. Now, it's not going to be a case of, and this is the thing, right? Everyone looks for this for everything when it comes to strength and conditioning and diet is like, what's the one solution? And I'm like, oh, what you've got to do is put ice on it, or take a bath with sunscreen, like, or some other magical thing that you think is going to work. I'm zooming into my face a little bit more. There is nothing like that, especially for any injury, but especially for tendon pain. Tendon pain is an injury that comes from just exposing that tendon at whatever joint, and we'll focus on the knee one because that's what you said, or quad, very similar, actually very similar placing, so we can sort of group them together, and we'll say that those injuries come from too much volume. Your muscles will get stronger, will grow at a faster rate, whereas the tendons, they take a lot longer to be able to accommodate that, to strengthen and be more robust. So that is absolutely why you should always accumulate from training to training. Like, you're going to, like, if you do nothing, it's why everyone that does nothing and goes straight into CrossFit gets injured. It's because you've gone from zero or minimal stimulus to all the stimulus. And yes, eventually your muscles will accommodate that and come back and grow stronger. And, you'll be able to account for that. But your tendons never, like, take so long that more often than not they break, or they have other niggly injuries that will come back to bite you in the ass if you don't taper that volume. More importantly, and this is why, like I mentioned, it is CrossFit, but it happens in other sports as well, it's not just the volume. You need a shit ton of volume to really do damage to, sorry if you can hear that, I don't know if you can hear the stuff in the background. You need a shit ton of volume if you're really going to do ligament damage or tendon damage, unless that volume is of a great deal of force. And by force, I mean like absolute weight. So if you're squatting a heavy weight consistently, or you're doing a lot of speed work, so force into the ground, power work, that sort of stuff, cleans, lots of sprinting, that stuff will expose your joint to that high force. And so, like, that's where the injury comes from. So essentially, yes, that's not like how to fix it, but that's how to not get it again. And that's kind of an important part, right? There's no sort of hack that you can, just breathe a big bag of oxygen every day and it reverses the effects of smoking. There is none, right? You stop doing the thing that is creating this injury in the first place, right? At least for a while, and then once you can, build back up to it. So wherever you're in pain, drop the volume as much as possible. Now say as much as possible, because, if you're having to play rugby or train for rugby, you're probably going to have to do some sort of running around and stuff, and, be as practical as you can. If you're in the middle of a training phase, see if you can see out that training phase by maybe replacing movements, by making movements lighter, by lightening the load, by adjusting so that your joint isn't at, like, as a greater angle where it hurts too much, or where the force is a little bit lower. There are lots of different things that you can do. But if you're really buggered, you start with isometrics. And this can be like something that you do. If you're really buggered, you would do this like on a daily basis as the training. Otherwise, you could do it as like a bit of a warm-up, but you would do some sort of isometric holds, like 90-ish degrees or shallower, like wall sits are quite good, split squats, anything where you can do a couple sets of 30 to 60 seconds in a position that puts your knee under a bit of a strain. Now, that's not obviously going to overly develop any sort of strength, but it's going to help put some volume that your tendon can then deal with and then come back stronger. Once you're okay with that, and if you are still okay with that and want to train, then you would build up into sort of lighter load training. So you can carry on with your squats if you can do a full range of motion without pain. If you can't do a full range of motion without pain, you would be looking into box squats or shallower squats, sitting down to a bench. Those single leg sitting down to a bench, those are good because they force you to control the eccentric. You can't just drop, right? You control the eccentric, and then you control the concentric because you're coming from a seated position. So you sort of move really well, and you can really load that tendon in a productive way as well. I would also look at slow eccentrics with Bulgarian split squats or rear foot elevated split squats, back foot up on a bench, squat down. Those are always my go-to. Like, you don't even need to do any back squats for rugby, but Bulgarian split squats are massive. Reverse lunges as well work really well. So you stand up, drop that leg back, drop that knee to the ground, and come up. Like really control that eccentric portion so that then you can work at around, you know, 70%-ish or lower. And if you really control that lowering portion, then you're still going to reach a point where you're getting a good training stimulus without using the heavy load. So you can still do five sets of five or whatever you're doing, right? But with a lighter weight, and then you're still getting used to that volume and still having that training be nice and productive. Then you would, from there, like, again, it would be a case of increasing the intensity from, like, your jumps. So this is something I do with most guys, and this is something I'm going to be doing when we reintroduce rugby muscle. And as we are getting back to the gym and as we slowly get back to rugby, you have to, and this is, I do this anyway for movement purposes, is you really need to pay attention to where you are introducing and how you are introducing plyometrics and power work. It's not just a case of go outside and sprint as fast as you can. It's go outside and do some jumps or do whatever, but it's not even that, right? So from a real technical point of view, this is how you would do it and lay it out so that you would move the best, and so you would, more importantly, right, improve the best is great, but more important than that is don't injure yourself, and you give yourself the least chance of being injured. You'd start by doing some sort of landing. So rather than actually even worry about like jumping as high as you can or anything like that, like people go straight into plyometrics. It's terrible, right? All you want to do is focus on the landing mechanics. So step off of a 6-inch box, maybe 12-inch, and just land as soft and as calmly as you can, and really try and make sure that you are moving, that you're not, you know, your heel, you're landing on the whole of your foot, so your toes into your heels, into a really productive, you know, quarter squat position. We all know that power position that we're sort of taught that we should hold. Just land and hold that position. Keep repeating that until you've perfected that. At the same time, you would do a jump where you're perfecting, again, you're perfecting the landing position, which is the biggest emphasis of that jump, but you would do no sort of downward movement. So you'd start in a position, like in the bottom position, so in a half or a quarter squat, get ready to jump, and then just jump and catch yourself in that landing position. Make sure you're checked all good. Get yourself into the starting position again and just come up. Don't drop down into the up. And this is hard to explain over just a video of my face, but you know, if you need to know more information, fuck, Team Rugby Muscle is where it's at, and because you will follow this exact sequence. From here, you would go into like a more of a dip into a jump. So not just jump, like not just holding that bottom position and jumping. You would stand up tall, drop down, jump up, right? And then you would, again, practice that landing. And then you could also do depth jumps where you would, rather than actually jump up, you would actually just practice landing and then bouncing off the ground. So landing, coming off the ground, but not jumping as high as you can, just landing and coming back up at any, you know, nominal sort of jump. Then you would do more continuous jumps. So you would go straight from the jump into another jump, into another jump. And, you know, sort of like the jumps that you see people do, you would control the landing every time, get a good landing every time. And over time, what you're doing is you're teaching yourself to move really well, but slowly, right? By keeping each movement perfect. You would only move on once you're moving really well and you're comfortable that that's how you're supposed to move, and then you would be able to do the next one. And then from there, you would get into your plyometrics. You would do your depth jumps, you would do your drop jumps. So, you know, you would jump from a height where you would land into a perfect half squat position and jump back up, and you would jump from a height or just land and jump as high as you can with trying to keep your feet onto the ground for as minimal ground contact time as possible. And that's how you apply progress your plyometrics. That's how you progress any sort of jumps. You would do this with directional jumps, you know, side to side. You would do this from rotational jumps. You would add in all sorts of, you know, for height and for distance. And over time, you will be able to teach your body not, you know, to move well. So you're exposing your tendons less, and you're also allowing your tendons to accommodate more and more and more intensity, because obviously over time you're putting more force by doing these different movements. That's pretty much the guide, right? You could talk about different icing and things that you need to do. It's all bullshit. Like that's all just, you know, it's again, it's that sort of idea of sitting in an oxygen chamber for an hour a day stops you from smoking. You know, no, you have to stop the thing that's hurting and then slowly but surely reintroduce it. So you have to give up the cigarette. So you have to do this procedure. If you, because you can sort of just stop doing it, do all the icing protocols you want and do all the other sort of funky exercises that magically fix it. But then if you just go back to whatever you were doing before, you're massively risking a chance of that that injury coming back again. So just be careful of what you're doing, right? So that's really like a pretty comprehensive overview. Absolutely, just keep watching this back. Let me know if you need to go into any more depth on that. Whew, that was in depth, eh? Let me see. Next question. Check the live feed. We're good. Yeah, so just to round that off, like if you're having to stay fit, like you can definitely do off feet conditioning. You can do tempos, which are not necessarily off your feet, but they're a lighter load, right? So you're likely to give your knees a bit more issues if you're sprinting versus if you're just doing some tempo runs at 65% to 70%. So I would look at doing a lot more, and then even then, because the tempo runs, you know, you're getting your aerobic stimulus without just the sheer pavement pounding that doing long distance running would do. You're getting the best of both worlds. And then if you want to do long distance sort of like low level aerobic work, which is obviously great, then you can look at things like the elliptical if your gym's open, or a rowing machine ish, whatever. You know, you can do whatever without the impact, and therefore you're able to get the benefits of aerobic training. Okay. Hi guys, I just wanted to jump in here to tell you that if you're enjoying this podcast and you want to become a better athlete, then you can go ahead and visit rugby-muscle.com and pick up any of our free goodies. That is the 50 free rugby conditioning sessions, the physique nutrition crash course video series, the supplement guide, and newly added is a macro calculator. Yes, that's right, a macro calculator where you will be able to work out your protein, carbs, fat, and calories that you should be eating on a daily basis to give you a guide as to where to start your diet from. This will help in conjunction with your 50 free conditioning sessions to build you out a decent little plan that will enable you to take control of your training and use effective training and nutrition to become a better athlete. All that stuff and more can be found at rugby-muscle.com or rugby-muscle.com/macros for the macro breakdown. Corey asks, we get randoms from time to time, but never seem to be able to get them to stay. Oh, he's talking about transitioning from American football to rugby. I've noticed a lot of bad habits they carry over from football. What bad habits have you seen, and how did you overcome that? So my biggest thing in transitioning from it used to never be a funny word, transitioning, but now it's hilarious. So like in football, you're a chess piece, right? This is how I sort of explain it to people. In football, you're a chess piece. You're a piece on the board, and essentially it's either the coach or the quarterback, you know, or the defensive coordinator or whatever, right, who is the player. They are moving you around, and your job is to go to wherever they want you to go, or to execute wherever they want you to execute. You know, if you're in the offensive line, you're going to move the defensive line in this direction, or you're going to create this gap, or whatever you're going to do. You know, you're going to protect the quarterback in by doing this. Or if you're a wide receiver, you're going to run X amount of route or whatever, right? In rugby, you're still kind of, it's more like you're a draft or a checkers piece, right? It's a little bit of a simpler game in its actual, the way it's played, but you are taking control. The head coach sort of can help you out, but you're free to sort of move about and do what you can and make the decisions that you want to make. And maybe it's still chess. I don't know any other sort of board games that would work well for this analogy, but you're a sentient chess piece. You are the responsible for doing your job, but you can create whatever job you want to create, you know. So from there you sort of see that you know, because obviously I've changed from the checkers perspective, it is chess. From there you see that probably as a player in rugby, it's probably more complex to play, right? And then if you've come from football, probably, you know, especially Corey asking this place for a men's club, you're probably coming from a background where you've played football. You're probably in your 20s. You've probably played football for over a decade, or been engrossed in the football world for over a decade. You know what a picture of football looks like. You know what your job is as a player, like, especially because your job as a player is very simple. In rugby, it's like the opposite, right? In rugby, your job is so complex, and you've got to, you know, in 10-second chunks, or in second-by-second chunks, or in minute-by-minute chunks, you've got to figure out what you've got to do and go about doing it. So many football players and guys, you know, come to rugby from American football, or even just from, like, nothing, like, underestimate the technical component of what a complete game of rugby looks like, which blows my mind, because that's easily the biggest thing that you can do to sort of help yourself as a player. It would be for, if the, you know, because of the, you know, because of the bad habits that you have from football, you know, you're never able to see those for what they are, because you're experiencing the game as yourself. So you're never really able to experience the full game of chess, rugby, whatever, from an overall point of view. So sometimes you don't even know what you're trying to accomplish. So, you know, we crash this ball up. Why do you crash this ball up? What is that? What are you trying to achieve of everything that you're trying to achieve? And this is not necessarily the fault of the players. It's probably the fault of poor coaching. Because you need to know what you're trying to achieve. So, you know, if you do have a poor coach, the idea is that you then have to watch as much rugby as you can and understand what you're trying to achieve and take it upon yourself to achieve what the team wants to achieve as a player, and educate, you know, tell other people, communicate to the rest of your teammates where to go. Over time, like, that's the best rugby players are the ones that have played more and more and more and more. You know, if you're a football player that's coming from football background, you've probably got a decent level or a good enough level of physical development. Your focus and your skill and your tactical, you know, side of things are going to be so far behind that, yes, you still want to be doing your strength and conditioning, want to be getting fitter and all this stuff. But if you had to choose, and it's not a zero-sum game, right? You're not going to choose to watch rugby or work on your skills versus go to the gym. You can do both, but that emphasis needs to be there. You need to watch rugby. You need to understand what's supposed to be happening. You need to practice your skill of passing. You need to do this quite often. You need to enjoy the game, become a fan of the game. That's how you stay motivated. That's how you stay in the game, and that's how you become, you know, a fan for life and a player for life. If you become a player for life, then you are able to progress more and more and more each week. So that's sort of how I would assume, you know, or how I would sort of make it go out, right? You know, you would, it's hard to take coming from another sport, but I've said this to every, when I coached in US, like, I would say to people that, you know, you have to embrace the fact that you suck right now. You have to embrace the fact that you are, like, that nothing's expected of you because you're the new guy. You've come from a sport where maybe you were the hot shot in American football, or at least you thought you were in your own head, or at least you were a good part of the team. Like, take your first 2 years and embrace the fact that you suck. Ask as many questions as you can. Make mistakes, and then learn from those mistakes to get better. Keep getting better and better and better. The problem is so many low-level rugby players, and this is not just coming from an American football background, this is players in general, is they don't have that growth mindset, that, like, and they don't even know it. And this quote from Dan Cottrell, who was on the podcast, Arshis, always sticks with me. He says, you know, there's some coaches that have 20 years of experience, but they don't really have 20 years of experience. They have 1 year of experience repeated 20 times. And that's so true, you know. Don't be that player. Look for that growth mindset. Look for how you can get better each time. Okay, cool. I'm going to move some questions. We've got, what, how long? 15 or so minutes to go on the pod. We will answer the question on the live, because that's how we've got to do it. Top five countries at the moment and top five most valuable players. Right. Number one, France. Number one player, Dupont. Boom. That's the easiest. Like, he is unreal. I remember watching him in the under-20s. I was like, Jesus, guy's good. And then watching him in seniors, and I was like, oh, he's still just as good. That French team, if they can keep it going, like, they will be you know, they've won the under 20s the two of the last three or three in a row or something for under 20s. They've been really, really, really good. So I think the French are probably on top. We can't say South Africa at the minute because they haven't played for over. They haven't played since they won the World Cup. But I mean, maybe they're in there. Then we're looking at England. Man, last year Australia really, really surprised me with how well they played. Considering that I really did think that Super Rugby AU was like significantly worse than Super Rugby Aotearoa. Not just because the name was a bit more dumb, but actually because it looked like way worse. But they, you know, they played really well as a, you know, both Australia and New Zealand played different. They played with just talent and just work, like very simple game plans with just lots of higher rugby IQ going on. How many have I given there? Three or four? One more. I'm gonna put Scotland. Not just I was thinking this for a while. I think Scotland are gonna probably sort of. I can't see them overtaking Ireland because Ireland have so much depth, but they will be overtaking Wales. I just think that Wales are gonna miss Warren Gatland too much. I think Scotland will overtake Wales. I think they'll win this weekend, and I then think that they probably will beat Ireland. So Ireland seems to be a little bit out of form, which might be a good thing because usually they're in the best form when it's nowhere near a Rugby World Cup, and then as soon as World Cup comes near, and then they lose in the quarterfinals. So I know I haven't really answered that question. Maybe I'll answer it properly in the next one if you ask it again, and I'll actually like write it down and stuff. Next question we have from David Paddy. I'm not going to pronounce that Irish name. Sorry, David. But he says, I'm an amateur rugby player, 33, 5'7", 104 kilograms. My last Bronco time, doesn't matter. Best 100 meter time, doesn't matter. My problem is in my club, I cover wing, center, and prop. Oof. Anywhere, basically, yeah. It's pretty much anywhere. I'm having mobility issues in the middle area at the moment. Hip, groin, top of quad, lower, and can't seem to shake it. Any advice for best training multiple field positions? Also, with training for various positions, I'm picking up one injury after another, and it all of now till September. It's all off from now until September because of COVID. So I've got time. Yeah. So, firstly, with the injury stuff, go back because what I said about the tendon thing definitely applies here. How well do you move? Like injuries will come from a weak point in your movement. They'll also come from a, you know, too much load point of view. So you've really got to pay attention to not just have, you know, maybe because, and this is what people do, and this is a mistake that I used to be guilty of, is like, because you have multiple goals, rather than breaking down your multiple goals and really prioritizing one for 6 to 8 weeks and another for 6 to 8 weeks, you prioritize all three at the same time. You just throw too much volume at your body and it breaks down. That is probably what's happening here, especially if you're just constantly picking up one injury after another. That will definitely happen. I would also say 5'7" and 104 kilograms, that's a lot of weight to be carrying as well. Sorry, but that's where your tightness can come from as well, is because you're constantly carrying this extra weight. You're probably training really hard, sounds like you're a fast, bigger guy as well. You'd be carrying a lot of weight, putting a lot of force through those muscles. They just never really get a time to relax. If you're seated down a lot of the time as well, then it's just not the best for the body either. You want to sort of break up your day, especially if it's the hip and groin on top of quad issues. You want to break up your day by not just sitting down in the exact same position for hours on end. You want to stand for an hour, sit for an hour, maybe lay down for an hour, or just get up every hour and move about a little bit. Maybe put your legs up. These different positions will help. You know, cooling down after training does help as well. But more than anything with this question, it's definitely a case of having a clear, directive goal that you're trying to do. I think this is probably coming from a place where, you've got too many focuses. So, you know, as far as training for prop, wing, and center at the same time, I would probably say, like, your best bet is to, this is my perspective. Now, you know, take it for what it's worth. I can be wrong, and you could, how you want to play rugby is definitely up to you, and how you want to live your life is up to you. But I would say probably do with losing a good 10 kilos or so, and just being more of an option, because then you're going to be, by the, you know, even if you lose a little bit of strength in your legs, if you lost 10 kilograms, you'd be that much faster and that much fitter. You'd therefore be much more of a candidate for a center or a winger. You'd expose your lower body and your back and whatever to less strain. I don't say this is overly a mobility issue. It's a movement issue. So you would just address that movement by training. You'd pick a few goals. So, you know, maybe you're working a little bit of strength and a little bit of fitness whilst losing fat. I'd go back to my fat loss 101 series on Rugby Muscle Applied, and I'd probably look at my, I think it's planning or periodization 101 as well. Look at that series on Rugby Muscle Applied. I'm going to be breaking down these videos into playlists so they're a lot easier to understand. So look out for that. But I would look at those videos because they really do outline like how you really need to figure out, like, it's not just I'm a center, I must train like this, or I'm a prop, I must train like this. It's what do you want to achieve? How do we go about achieving that? And how do we keep everything else sort of on the back burner so that we're not regressing? We're just making this the priority for this training block. And then for the next training block, we're going to maybe keep this going, or we're going to change that priority. Hopefully that makes sense. And as usual, David, if you want to follow that up, absolutely keep it going in the next post, and I can expand upon that. You know, if you say, right, I want to choose speed now, you know, whatever. But overall, yeah, you know, if you're constantly getting an injury, and you it would suggest, number one, that you probably move not too well, and it suggests, number two, that you're probably doing too much in some area of your training because your body just keeps giving out on you. Okay, we've got time for the last question, I think. We're on 7 minutes. Okay, let me see if we can get through this quickly. Ian says, I know you're not a big fan of testing for the sake of testing, but what are some indicators for improving movement control and core strength stability from the pyramid? Good. That's a very good question. So I think movement control is just something, that is actually a really hard one to sort of like iron out and test. It's something that you would just see in the way that you move, you know. It would be, you know, you would video, and this is why video in your training sometimes is very, very, very beneficial. You'd video a squat, see how it looks. If it looks gross, right, and then you just work on making a better squat each week, you'd then look at week 5 and you would compare it to week 1, and that's easily the best way you would do it. Unfortunately, there's no real quantifiable way to do it, I don't think, unless, you know, because functional movement screening is one thing, like you can just get more flexible hamstrings, but it doesn't mean that you're going to move any better. I think movement control being better, also like doing some sort of agility sort of run through can help, but again, go see the last Q&A for what I spoke about in terms of like how the problem with using a stopwatch for speed tests. It's something that you would just see your training numbers get better, you would just feel a bit better, and you would just over time be able to accomplish more movement than you were before. Then in terms of core strength stability, I think, you know, obviously planks can help, and is a good one. Like you would see how you would progress on the planks. Now, I've always said that it's not a good idea just to you know, plank for any more than probably like a minute is probably the absolute most you would ever want to plank for. So doing any more than that's not going to be overly beneficial. What you would look at is you know, either doing a longer lever, so you would just keep trying to reach, and then you get to a point where you could reach all the way, and then you would have some sort of weight on your back or something that can help, and see how long you can hold that for. At some point, that just risks being injured. But, you know, rather than testing, you would just see yourself improve at the pillar, at the, you know, at that sort of movement. Then in terms of bird dogs and different other core exercises, you would just see improvement in movement control and how much strain you would have to do to, you know, reach for a bird dog versus before. And like it's one of the reasons that core strength and stability is the like a part of training that a lot of guys don't get through, is because there's no, it's not like the hypertrophic stuff where you're seeing the numbers increase on your spreadsheet week to week to week. You're not doing that when you're doing core work. You're having to feel a lot more. You're having, you know, it just sucks. And you don't see, oh, last week I only did 10. This week I did 12. You don't get that week to week reward like you would do on those movements. So it is more difficult, but it comes from over time. And you just kind of see it from like just maybe handling a little bit more load over time, doing a little bit more instability, advancing the core work that you would do. So, you know, if you go progress from rollouts to standing rollouts, and eventually, you know, you could test every now and again if you could do a standing rollout, or how far you can walk out your hands with your core holding strong. That kind of works. Hanging leg raises, how long you can hold your hang. That would be sort of a core strength thing, a core compression thing. It is a difficult one. It's off the top of my head. It's a really good question. But it's also one that you would just see in the game, unfortunately. It's like you would just progress it week to week and you'd hope that progression is enough. There's no real out and out testing for it, but you'd see you'd still see your reps go up week to week. And yes, sometimes that's more of a sign of us artificially creating progression because you're starting a little bit easier and you're increasing it as you go. But that's kind of how you have to do it. Okay, let's see if we've got any more questions on the feed. I think we are good to go. So, like I said, if you like the reviews of actual rugby games, I do enjoy it. Kind of ramble a little bit more, but I can actually, if people want to see more of that stuff, I can actually write down and actually formalize my thoughts and sort of get them out there. If that's what you like, if you want just more strength and conditioning information, ask more questions and just tell me. Let me know in the comments below. Thumbs up as usual. Thank you guys so much for watching, and I'll see you in the next one. All right. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed that episode of the Rugby Muscle Podcast, then I've got a quick little request and a potential prize giveaway for you if you do said request. All I want you to do is go to Apple Podcasts and type up a 5-star review. Just your general opinions of the podcast would be great feedback, but also helps us reach higher rankings, get more exposure, allow me to attract more guests and devote more time to developing a better all-around podcast experience for you. All you have to do, once again, is go and give us a 5-star review on whatever podcast service you use. Let me know that you've got it. And then every single week, I'll be selecting one review to give away a free prize. That free prize will be either 1 free month of Team Rugby Muscle. That's our world-class strength condition program app delivered directly to your phone. Or if that doesn't interest you, then we've got 1 free consultation where I'll go over your training program, your nutrition, and advise you how to best plan for your goals. Even if none of those things interest you, it's still doing me a solid and helping the podcast grow by going and giving us a 5-star review. There's no real excuse. It takes 1 minute and that helps the show out exponentially. So I'd really appreciate it if you could do that. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'll see you in the next one.